With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. The most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight. This is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy. It's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us. We don't do interviews. We do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill. We drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week. As long as you're having fun as our guests. Speaking of guests, each week I'm gonna go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast, brought to you by our friends at Dodge. You know, Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So visit Dodge.com today to schedule your test drive. And brought to you by our friends at J.B. Weld. J.B. Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, J.B. Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA.
So on this show, we'll go over the Bear Jackson auction that Matt just got back from in Vegas, go over some of the high-selling cars and the Toyota Supra, Fast and Furious, Frank Sinatra's, Ghibli. Things of that nature. I'll talk a little about the Shelby collection. I was just hanging there with Sonny and company over the weekend, and we'll get into the new MC20 Maserati
and the Genesis GV80.
That as well. First, Empire Covers. Nowadays, cars are designed to keep you safe on the road, but are you providing the same protection for your car off the road? Empire Covers, high quality, affordable covers engineered to protect against rain, UV rays, tree sap, pollen, anything that damages vehicle paint. For premium protection, you can try the American Armor cover. Proudly made in their Kentucky factory, plus covers for RVs, boats, motorcycles, and more. So they've got you covered. All covers come with a free multi-year warranty. Don't get those cheap ones that you get at the Pep Boys. Those fall apart in the sun very quickly. I've learned my lesson very well on those. Get a quality cover. Empire Covers. Free shipping plus an extra 15% off your entire order with the promo code CARCAST. Visit empirecovers.com/CARCAST. Use the promo code CARCAST at checkout. That's empirecovers.com. Protect what you love. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get them in to get it on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, over there.
How are you?
Fresh. Good. Fresh off his trip to Barrett Jackson, Vegas. Yes. I'm fresh off my trip to the Shelby American Collection in Boulder.
Also, you did shows there.
Oh, I did shows.
In case you forgot.
Yes.
You didn't just go on vacation with Sonny and Chris. Take Mike and Chris on your vacations with you.
No, but...
You went worked at Shelby Museum. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was 118 degrees in Vegas.
It was 90 in Boulder.
And that's with the cloud cover. Like, it was crazy.
Well, we're looking at some of the sales here from the event. You have the McLaren P1. That's 2015. Don't get it twisted. ever like 1.5 and change. Mercedes 300 SL Roadster, just a tick over $1 million. Those cars have just sort of sat at $1 million for 5 years. Now, Ford GT, the new one, 2019 at $1 million. That's right where those cars are. It's really hard to say that this one's more and that one's less. You know, they have the throwback livery and all that. But for the most part, 950 is too low and, you know, 1,050 is too high. It's just, they're just like right at $1 million.
Yeah.
It always kind of makes me wonder, though, if you have a Ford GT, a new one.
Right.
You know, I kind of get it if you have, you know, Carroll Shelby's first race car or something like that, and you want to take it to Pebble Beach and get a bunch of press behind it and see if we can gin up some interest and get a little bidding war going. And, you know, the price for the cars, you know, anywhere between, you know, $7 million and $11 million, like who the fuck knows.
Mm-hmm.
You got a Ford GT, it's worth $1 million. I don't get why you don't put that car on Bring a Trailer, because they just sell on Bring a Trailer for $1 million and then you spend $5,000.
Right.
Versus I sold it for $1 million and I pocketed 900.
Yeah.
Or eight, you know.
Graham Rahal put his on, his purple one was on Bring a Trailer. Actually, I think he did a little better than this even.
Yeah,
on Bring a Trailer.
Well, not,
and the buyer didn't have to pay $100,000.
Well, as I always say, if the car is worth $1 million and you're bidding on it, you have to stop at $910,000.
Yeah.
You have to stop. Otherwise, you're going to pay $1,100,000 for a million-dollar car. Everyone knows it. So, again, you know, one-off custom stuff and whatever, you know, God bless the auctions. But if it's a car that's like that, and I would even say the 57 Mercedes-Benz 300 SL Roadster, it's $1 million.
It's $1 million, yeah.
If you're selling that car, why are you putting 900 in your pocket? Put $1 million in your pocket. Just put it on Bring a Trailer. It's $1 million, and so is the Ford. All right.
Graham's GT on Bring a Trailer went for $1,050,000.
Right, and this went for $1,023,000.
Yes. So Graham actually did better because this guy paid $100,000 on the deal. So his hammer price was, you know, Graham took home $1,045,000.
And this guy pocketed $900. Interesting other things, the Toyota Supra, Fast and Furious movie car we talked about. I think I had it at 500. I just said 500K.
Yeah, and that was the hammer, went for $550,000. And then, you know, then it starts to bring up this discussion of well, first of all, that 20-year number, 20-ish year number that we keep bringing up is an example right here. The first movie, 20 years. And
the first movie's coming up on 20 years?
Yeah. It was 2001. I think they're celebrating the 20th anniversary with the new movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And although it's like it's orange and it's got this big graphic on the side, but now that's what stands out. That's what makes it different than anything else. Chris and I were talking. I like Fast Five when they're on South America and they're pulling the safe around the streets.
Yeah,
and,
you do.
But who's going to collect seven flat black Dodge Chargers with, you know, tubular bumpers, right? Like, those are just stunt cars now. This movie was when Fast and Furious came out and the stars of the car were the movie, you know, where the cars were the stars as well.
Right? Yeah. You know, the Dodges will go up and will have some value. We'll definitely do something, but it's not like this. And now, as a contrast, I guess it's sort of a contrast, Frank Sinatra's 1970 Maserati Ghibli sold for $330,000, which is a good price for that car. I feel like Ghibli's are, you know, up around $250,000.
Yeah.
Maybe some $300,000, depending on engine size and...
he didn't have NOS, though.
Conditions and the condition of the car and so on and so forth. But the Sinatra name didn't add that much, you know?
We're
constantly trying to do this thing where it's like, this is Wayne Newton's car, and this is Frank Sinatra's car.
Wayne
Paul McCartney's... Sorry. Paul McCartney's Ferrari. They always just Elton John's Ferrari, Paul McCartney's Ferrari. They don't get a nickel over what that same car would get.
I think Wayne Newton was there. He was on stage. He moved that coach built Mercedes.
What color was his hair?
That was as black as the car was. I think the car had more patina than his hair did. And he's way older than that car. And I think it pulled like $85,000, like all in, something like that, on that car.
Yeah, but the moral of the story is we will pay for James Dean's transaxle, and we will pay for Steve McQueen's windbreaker. But Paul McCartney, I mean, arguably one of the most famous people on the planet, we're just not paying anymore for his Ferrari.
Right, because he wasn't famous for a Ferrari. If you had a Paul McCartney gold record, you know, that goes as much as his Ferrari, right? Like,
yeah, I think the memorabilia market is going to have to adjust a little bit, which is we will pay for Ayrton Senna's fire suit, but we won't pay for Ayrton Senna's Beatles album.
Right, yeah, that's actually a really good point.
If you flip the script, you realize it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Right, and that's just where we're at. Maybe it'll change. But now there is a slightly notable exception, which is, I'll think of her name. But there was a Porsche that was hand-painted by a roadie of Janis Joplin's.
Okay.
And Janis Joplin's hand-painted Porsche, like, Speedster, mm-hmm. did go for more than a Porsche Speedster, but it was hand-painted. Porsches oftentimes will do that. It was hand-painted. It was her car, and she drove it around, you know, in
yeah.
this weird, crazy, psychedelic paint job.
Yeah, and what, people just sort of saw it as like an art car, like a version of an art car?
Yeah, I think there was something to it. I don't know. Max Pata probably has it somewhere. It's probably about 5 years old. And
yeah, I have it. It's a 1964 Porsche 356. She painted it from bumper to bumper and door to door.
I don't think she painted it.
She had it painted.
Yeah, her roadie, like, painted it.
And it's sold. I don't know if you guys are guessing it. You just want me to give you the price?
I just remember it was, I feel like it was close to $1 million.
Yeah, estimated to be 400 to 600,000, sold for 1.76 million.
Wow.
Wow. But and there's also weird anomalies that you cannot pay attention to on occasion. Sometimes you just get two drunken dudes in the room mm-hmm. and they're both at fucking Woodstock and now they just sold their companies and they just go, fuck it, I want that car.
They were like, did Lee Majors bang this chick? I don't remember him singing about it. But it's a funky looking car, and it probably had a bit of a museum tour with it. And it kind of has a little bit of like art car-ish kind of history to it.
It's one-off-y, and it's hard to use that as a comp or an example. But the point is Frank Sinatra, obviously not with us anymore, or Elton John, or Paul McCartney, or John Lennon, not with us anymore, their stuff just doesn't translate
yeah.
into automotive. Now, Sinatra's Ghibli did get a couple of ticks over what a Ghibli gets,
yeah.
but it's not a yeah. big bump because Frank Sinatra. Now, here's the thought experiment. What if that 1970 Ghibli was Steve McQueen's Ghibli?
Right.
And now we're talking 1.5 million bucks.
Yeah. Does a Steve McQueen fire suit go for more money than Steve McQueen's outfit from Bullet? Right.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So here's something that came up as well, just to add this to the mix, talking about collectability. Paul Newman's watch sells for $16.7 million. The second Newman watch, which nobody knew about, is kind of a kicked in the nads. What did it go for, like $3 million or something?
Maybe four.
And but then there's the Newman watches, not Paul's watch. It's the Newman edition watches, right? The
mm-hmm.
the oyster-faced Rolex watches. I think they were around $100,000, you know, prior to this. And now that these two big sales happened, there's a Newman watch. A Newman edition watch, nice, for sale, $296,000.
So they pulled pulled it from 100 to 300.
Yeah,
or close.
And it's not an auction site. It's a somebody just has it listed. It's, you know, and it's a nice condition, whatever. Watch, $295,000 is the asking price.
All right, I'll tease this. So I was at the Shelby American Collection in Boulder, and they got more cars than I remember, as Matt and I spoke about off the air. And I think they just keep adding cars, but there's some serious competition. 427 Cobras, there's some definitely some competition. GT40s, quite a few. You know, they have...
How cool is the Bob Bondurant car, like with just patina right down to the tires? Like the
That's excellent. They got the, obviously, the Ken Miles GT40, and then I think the GT40 that came in third there as well. Again, I've always said the GT40s were undervalued. I've said that for well over a decade. You know, one just sold for about $3.5 million in Europe, and it was literally just a car that was never raced. It was never had an engine in it. You know, it was very much just a leftover chassis. You know, they were making them and they were planning, and you know, sometimes technology moves on, and the next thing you know, one, you're racing a GT40 at Le Mans, the late '60s, the mid late '60s, and you're winning Le Mans. And the next thing you know, it's 1970, and there's a 917 Porsche next to you, and your GT40 is not going to work against that car anymore. So they have the extra chassis, you know, never got put together, never got raced. They got dated out, you know.
Yeah.
And this one sold in Europe. They, you know, had the chassis for a while. They rebuilt it. They put in a, you know, period correct engine kind of thing. Sold for, I think, about $3.5 million. But it's really, it's a zero history. It's literally you just going, I would like a semi-legitimate Ford GT.
Yeah, like of as much period correct as it, possible.
It's almost a kit car at this point, 3.5. And, you know, I said at the time when the third place gold car from Le Mans, the 1-2-3 finish with Ford GT, that thing sold for $9.5-10 million. I was like, it's still cheap. It's a GT40 that's famously pictured in a, you know, in Le Mans, blah blah blah. So, you know, you go to that Shelby Museum, there's a bunch of GT40s floating around with crazy history, and I'll bet you the average was about 3.5 for those cars. You know, now just a base nothing is that. But I'll tease this because I had a little challenge for Sonny.
Okay.
I said, Sonny, it's a museum filled with Shelby Daytonas, filled with Cobras, filled with racing Cobras and street Cobras, and a bunch of GT40s and a couple of street GT40s. Maybe they made 7 or 8 of those or something like that. I said, I want you to walk around this museum, and I want you to point at the car that you think is the most valuable.
It's the most valuable.
All right, okay. I'll tell you what happened. First, I'll tell you about J.B. Weld. DIYers and pros have trusted J.B. Weld for 50 years plus. By the way, projects, big and small, home or garage, use the world's strongest bond. We're proud to have J.B. Weld Epoxy Adhesive as a sponsor. I personally know the owner and hung out with these guys, like I said, when I was in SEMA a couple of years back. And look, whether you're doing automotive stuff or crafts or plumbing or marine, use JB Weld, and you can use it on metal, wood, plastic, glass, ceramics. I used it to fix some Sonny's shoe, and Stromer used another JB Weld product to fix his tile tray, his wet saw. JB Weld also acquired Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner has you covered, right, Matt?
Yeah, JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And JB Weld is epoxy products are proudly made in the USA.
All right. So I said to Sonny, in a sea of GT40s and Cobras and Daytonas. Maybe one Daytona or two Daytonas. A couple Daytonas. It's like a weird European prototype thing, too, there.
Yeah.
Remember that one? Red, I think. Anyway, I said, go point at the cards you think is the most valuable in this collection. And he went over to a car.
Yeah.
And he pointed at it. And he said, I think this one is the most valuable. That vehicle, an AC Bristol.
Okay. So Sonny's off his game a little bit.
A little bit.
Sonny's off his game a little bit. Although he's probably not as far off as you think, because I'm thinking what's the most valuable car in there. And even the Le Mans GT40 that we saw at RM, maybe 2018, was like $9.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to look up this other price, but if I recall, Carroll Shelby's Cobra, the blue one with the ratty seats, mm-hmm. was like $15 million.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
But the AC Bristol's obviously there because it was the chassis that Shelby put his 260 and then his 289 into. But this was just a pure AC Bristol.
But it looks the most like the bone stock $15 million Cobra.
Yeah, the Bristol. And
if he would have picked the blue one, if he would have said, oh, it's that, but I like the pretty blue, he would have nailed it.
Yeah. Now, look, I'm sure it's got a great story, great history. Maybe it's the first one imported here or some version of that. But AC Bristols, who've been dragged up by the Cobras now. AC Bristol was a nothing European sports car with a, I don't know, straight six or something in it that was worth, you know, 60 grand.
Yeah.
Now they're 250. Like, yeah. People are sort of, so it's not worth nothing, but in a sea of multi-million dollar cars, I think he picked one that's well under five. That's that was mine. So I beat him. I backhanded him.
Speaking of Cobras, 65 289 Cobra sold at Barrett Jackson. This car was pretty unique because it had a lot of options on it at a time where the base price was like $5,600 or $5,700.
Mm-hmm.
This thing had options like radio antenna and upgraded tires and, you know, things like that. And
luggage rack.
It's, yeah, the rack. It's stickered at like $6,300, which in today's dollars was like $58,000.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying, what, you know, you look at, you go to the mid 60s and they go AM, FM, stereo, radio, and it's like $18.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, luggage rack $14. You know, this, you know, the carpeted rear whatever $11. I mean,
it had like a radio antenna, and it was like $3.02.
Right, but so to get a car up $800 or $900 from sticker means, yeah, a lot of,
even $300
meant
sticker.
A lot of options back
a lot
then
of options.
Because $22, $27, $44. It takes a while to get to over, you know, to $800-$900.
They had Aaron Shelby bring it up on stage. They said some good things about the car. $907,500,
which seems
for a 289 Cobra.
Feel like the 289s are right in there,
yeah,
anyway, maybe around $1 million.
Yeah,
they don't go for eight something.
And it was one of the more, you know, high dollar cars at the event. Some other things that happened at Barrett Jackson are the restomods, the builds starting, mm-hmm, to pull money.
Yeah, Chris, yeah, pull up the Grinch Camaro from the Ring Brothers.
Let me,
the Ring Brothers?
Sorry. Yeah, let me hit Dodge real quick as you, okay, bring that up. Dodge has officially opened orders of the new 2021 Durango SRT Hellcat. It's the most powerful SUV ever. It's exclusive for 2021, and it features that 710 horsepower engine, that aggressive styling that you see kind of on the wide body Charger, and that great new infotainment system, that Uconnect 5. And if you get the Hellcat, all buyers will receive a full day of pro instruction at the Radford Racing School. And of course, Dodge is ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com today.
Yeah, so the Ring Brothers pulled the Grinch Camaro up there and got $385 for it, which is respectable.
They got $385,000 for it. And again, when you get up on the car and you see it, you see their quality of work. It's just it's such a fantastic car.
I think under $400,000 is still a good price for that car.
The kind of detail I still think it is. In. Yeah. I still think it is. Look, when one of the first Ring Brother Mustangs showed up at Barrett Jackson years ago and sold for like $250,000, Mike and Jim were like, this is a record for like a custom car. Mm-hmm. You know, you used to give, you know, Chip Foose $500,000 and sell the car for, you know, $80,000 at auction. And now people are appreciating the quality. Now, of course, you're also finding a lot of custom built cars showing up that are done well, but not to this. Like the ones that are top notch, there's a lot of Broncos there, but you see an Icon Bronco, you know that's pulling the money. You see a Ring Brothers car, it's pulling the money.
Yeah.
Somebody built a 63 split window Corvette, and this was a custom, not a number matching car, $396,000 at the
end.
Like that's just fantastic for what they're getting.
Driver. I think
that's Russo.
All right,
that's Russo.
I think that Icon and Porsche, whatever
Singer,
yeah, and that kind of stuff. I think they pulled the whole market up.
They have. Now the appeal for those guys is you can go there and buy one from them, but you got to wait 2 or 3 years. And if you want it now, you've got to go to auction or find it or buy it used.
Yeah, I haven't seen a Singer Porsche come up for a while.
Like you know what's interesting is Graham Rahal Performance, his dealer in Indiana,
mm-hmm,
has had at least two, maybe three. I remember seeing two, and both of them sold in that like almost $1 million range, like 960 something, whatever. That was the asking price. It's not auction; it doesn't list it, but it's probably $900,000 you're getting for those cars.
I wonder, Max Pata, where Singer is. I feel like they used to be kind of up the street.
Yeah,
they were in the neighborhood, but they didn't have a lot of square footage. They must.
Yeah,
have
I don't know if they've expanded.
Expanded. They must be doing something in Texas or something.
I still have them in Sun Valley.
Sun Valley.
I think they may still be there. They might have grown over there, but also keep in mind that they've locked down a few vendors that are very unique to them, like Ed Pink. They have a division or a section of that building just for their engines, and
mm-hmm,
whoever makes the carbon fiber bodies, I don't think they make it on site. That probably comes, I don't know, maybe even from Europe. Who knows?
Right.
But interesting to see some of those cars. Now, there is the business model of people going, oh, I'm going to take a Mustang or I'm going to take an early Bronco or some truck, and I'm just going to do a nut and bolt restoration. Everything's just going to get powder coated and cleaned, and maybe it's going to get a crate engine. You know, they're going to have 100, 110 invested into it. They're going to sell it for 140, and it's a nice little business model.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that are really done are pulling, you know, a couple hundred grand for the hot rods and the rest of mods.
It's good in that is a guy who's, you know, got a 280 ZX and a Porsche that I'd like to do something custom with. You know, no matter who you are, how much money you have, nobody likes the idea of putting $250K into something that is then worth $85K.
Yeah,
it doesn't really matter how much who you are, how much money, how much FU money or FME money you have. You're just still like, that just seems like something I'm not that enthusiastic about doing. Knowing that you can take a 911, do a nice job on it, and get your money out of it if you have to, is going to encourage more people to do it.
Yeah,
and you're seeing more 911s, especially Singer probably did that people do a nice job on, maybe put 125, 150 grand into them, but they sell for 230, you know, and they can justify it.
Yeah, if the build is done right.
I think it's got to be, the key is kind of the platform. So the split window vet, the 911 platform, the Bronco platform, these are all solid platforms to get your money out of.
Yeah.
You know, there's a Singer that's up in Europe for, they're asking 670 or something.
No, that's the winning bid.
Oh, that's the winning bid.
Yeah, this is this month.
Oh, this month where? 653 euro, which I think about 800 grand, maybe.
Yeah, it's just under 800 grand.
Just under. How much under 800 grand, sir? Just curious what the conversion is. Oh, yeah, it's 780.
Yeah.
That's a good price for that car. It's probably an early generation Singer.
Right.
It's probably not one with the Ed Pink motor and all that kind of shit. It's super nice because it's a Singer, but...
And you got to really think about the options because the Singers can really vary in price.
So. I don't know what year the Singer was built.
I think they said it's somewhere between 2012 and 2013.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an earlier. Okay,
so that is actually an earlier Singer, it seems like.
Yeah.
So I don't even know they had I didn't read the specs, but did they have the full carbon fiber bodies and stuff by then, or they were just getting into that? You're right. I don't think it had the hot engine. I think it has a good engine, but not their special.
Yeah, I think if this was a more modern Singer, probably would have fetched another 400 grand,
right.
I would guess. All right.
But still a cool piece. Just a
very cool piece.
Every one of these is fantastic.
You were driving a car. You drove a car out to Vegas, the Genesis, that I'm really jealous of. Like, I spotted one of those things at a dealership, and it was actually, I think, a dealership that had Bentley and it had Hyundai, and like they shared the same parking lot. Yeah, and I thought it was, or Genesis, I thought it was a Bentley at first, and then I had to go take a look at it. But it's the Tiger Woods mobile.
I got into like a 7-minute conversation with the security guard at the convention center. He thought it was a Bentley the whole time.
Jewish
guy?
Fun.
Possibly. I can't say for sure.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about it. Let me just hit Geico real quick. Do you own your home or you rent your home? Well, either way, it can be a lot of hard work. But we know it's easy. It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. So the Genesis GV80, it's kind of like a nickel silver. It had tan and blue interior, diamond stitch everywhere.
How dead nuts on was I about the fucking diamond stitching inside of cars?
The guys leaning in and looking at this thing, they're like, oh, yeah, look at the seats. Look at that.
Yes, I had it done in my Lambo 12, 13 years ago, 14 years ago. But the point is I just kept saying, if it's not more expensive to do a diamond stitch, then why is it only for Bentley and Rolls Royce?
Yeah.
You guys have sewing machines and computers. Just do a diamond stitch in your cheaper car and make it look super expensive.
And the whole styling of the vehicle looked fantastic. It ran great. The interior was very comfortable. Now, you do start to see a few areas where they have to save a little bit of money, right?
What's it sticker for?
Well, that's the thing, is it starts at like 48 grand.
Wow.
And you could work your way up to large engine, all-wheel drive, you know, into the 70s range, right? But I think that's it. Maybe you're at 73 or 74, but it's like 48, 50 grand to start.
It's a lot of SUV.
It's got heated and cooled seats, but it didn't seem to work very well. And the massage seat wasn't that great. And it's only driver's side. It's not the two front seats like, you know, in the Lincoln and some of the nicer vehicles. A couple little issues with there's a dial to change the infotainment system, but you can also touch screen. And I noticed when I touched the screen, sometimes it didn't do it. I'd had to use the dial to push a button. So a couple little things like that, but really kind of nice. And the market for this car, I'm not sure. Like, if you get into this car and it's gorgeous and it's $60,000 with the diamond stitch and the nice sound system, maybe it's a good lease, you know? And if you want to buy it, maybe you buy a really nice lease return, 2-3 years old, 30,000 miles on it. I'm sure it's going to be fine, and knock a chunk of off the price, but I was impressed with it for sure. I drove the 3.5 liter engine, which had a little bit more power. There's a base engine. I'm curious to see what the base engine would be.
Must be a V6.
Yeah, this is the V6, and I think there's I think it's a turbo 6, and then I think there's like a turbo 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at high speeds, it was a little floaty, but also it was just crazy wind. You know, just that crosswind was really and not that this affects the ride quality, but the heat out there.
Yeah.
You know, you're driving back and you're just seeing car after car on the side of the road just overheating.
We were in a 1.5 liter turbocharged Chevy Equinox with me and Mike and Sonny and Chris.
Ooh, front wheel drive.
All the luggage, and Mike was shifting in a shaft and he had that stick. He was dropping it, dropping gears.
Yeah. Maybe you should have let Sonny drive.
Oh, it's a good point.
You know, Sonny could have hauled everybody around.
Mike, the thing about Mike, when he drives, he does not recognize the existence of the law enforcement community in other states. He acts, when he drives in other states, he's like, California Highway Patrol ain't going to catch up to me here.
Yeah, that's
right. How he drives.
That's how he thinks. Okay.
I explain to him all the time, he's weaving in and out of traffic stuff, that they have their own cops.
Nevada has a highway patrol.
They have their own. Yes.
He's like,
they
fake,
will
fake
give
news.
You, they will give
news.
You a ticket, Mike. It's basically worked for him, except for one time, I think, out of Minneapolis outside of, I can't remember the fuck we were, Wisconsin or something. He did get nailed. But other than that, he has driven with impunity. And insanity. And he's never gotten pulled over.
Maybe so, they're afraid to pull him over.
Maybe he knows something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a nice piece. I'm a fan of Genesis. I mean, the stuff looks good.
It actually, like, the fit and finish is better than you think. Again, a couple little switches here and there felt a little light, a little plasticky, but I mean, at that price range, it's kind of hard to beat.
Like, you got to make it up somewhere.
Now, So Brad Fanshawe went out and he drove the new Acura MDX. It's a similar size SUV. It's a similar price. Starts at about $49,000. You know, I think the front wheel drive starts at $47,000. It's like $49,000 for the all wheel drive. It didn't feel nearly as luxurious as the Genesis. Genesis
right.
is definitely just kind of giving that Bentley, Audi feeling to it, the brighter interior, the diamond stitch. But the MDX did feel tighter and more sporty, you know?
Yeah.
Super all-wheel drive. Like, it's a different type of vehicle for sure.
Well, when you're making a vehicle, SUV or not, you have to kind of pick a lane, pardon the pun. You have to go, do we want, are we making the poor man's Range Rover or are we making the poor man's Mercedes?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the Japanese, I feel like, have sort of picked the Mercedes route, like the BMW Mercedes route. It's going to be a little more austere. It'll be cleaner. Not so much bells and whistles, but it's going to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And other companies go, we're going to be more like the Range Rover. Like, you think about Range Rover, all the emphasis is on the interior.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
It's a little bit loftier ride, a little bit softer ride, a little less, you know, the Genesis had a sport mode, not a very aggressive sport mode.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a little less for the enthusiast,
yeah.
and a little more for the enthusiast's second wife. You know what I mean? Who
right,
just
right.
climbs in and goes, "Oh man, I love this."
But the car gets admired, and that's what they're going after. You pull up to a gas station or you're the valet parker, and they're like, "This thing's pretty nice."
You yeah, know,
even the shape of the steering wheel and everything just kind of has, you know, a little bit of that Bentley Rolls-Royce kind of feel to it, what they were going for.
Well, you know, the model is out there, the Bentley, the Rolls-Royce, you know, the Range Rovers. It just kind of knock it off. That's what they do.
The choice of interior colors makes a big splash as well. If it's always just all black, you kind of lose a little something. And this had the tan seats. Chris, you probably have some photos. This had the tan seats, but all the other leather, the base leather, instead of being black, was a dark blue. And the blue with the tan is actually really pretty. Now, they did the half steering wheel. The inside was tan and the outside was black. That's a little weird to me, or blue. But, you know, the lighting and everything is great. And then, see, the interior there, the dark dash, instead of black, it's blue. It's dark enough to work and not show a lot of reflection, but you can see the blue in there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful-looking car. Speaking of tan or cream or blue and white, just made me think. I ran into some article that Maserati's bringing back the MC12,
but a
220 or something. I don't know. Maserati MC220, I think it was.
Or MC20?
MC20. I mean, if one is the 12, maybe the latest.
I think it's MC20. I've seen this car.
Oh, I'm thinking of your favorite Jag with the 220.
The XJ220, yeah. This new Maserati that you're thinking of, they built a prototype, and it was in the U.S. for like a week, and I got invited to go and see the car. I believe it's a hybrid supercar, maybe MC20 or Maserati supercar. Yeah, this is a yellow one, which is terrible. But
don't do that. Don't do yellow.
Is there anything other than yellow?
I saw it in white.
They
should all just be white and blue. It's your marquee color.
And this really kind of stood out as something significant for Maserati, just bringing back a sportiness to Maserati, hopefully a quality as well, bringing some sort of quality reputation to it. But the specs, I don't recall them all off the top of my head. It's been months since we've seen the car, almost a year probably because of the pandemic. But I believe twin turbo V6, excuse me, with a hybrid drivetrain, probably electric motors on the front, a little like NSX, and it was going to be fast, and it looked great and very, very cool. I mean, just the pictures we're seeing now with the white with the blue and the blue calipers, really, really presented well.
Yeah, beautiful car. Don't know what they're doing with
it. I'm told they're going to make it.
Oh, you are?
At the time, they told us they were going to make it. So I think the idea of the specs and stuff that they were releasing on the car implied that this was going to be something they're going to do. Now, there's been a lot of change of ownership of companies and management and Dieselgate and this and that. But don't be surprised to see this in Monterey, either on the lawn at Pebble or at Quail.
Yeah. By the way, if you want a used Maserati, like the latest generation Ghibli, like that's 5 years old, probably pick one up for the price of a 2-year-old Camry. Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to get you can drive a Maserati for $28,000.
Yeah.
No problemo.
You can. A few quality issues, but you could. Oh, you know what? Another car, just kind of off subject, but another car that popped up just on Bring a Trailer that. It's just one of the ones we usually look at just to gauge market is the Ferrari 330 2+2.
Ferrari 330 2+2, yeah.
Yeah, you know, because we always like to compare those to the Lamborghini, the 67, the 2+2 car, and the 400 GT and the Islero. So just something to keep an eye on. There's a 330 2+2 on Bring a Trailer, Chris. I want to say it's silver. It might have just got posted recently.
Yeah,
I don't really know where they are on the pricing.
Well, we can look it up. First, let me tell you about Mack Weldon. Kick summer off in style with the brands that's reinventing men's basics. Mack Weldon, so much more than just underwear. Full collection includes T-shirts, polos, button-ups, shorts, pants, swim, and more. Light and breathable fabric technology keeps you cool and comfortable all summer, whether you're at work or working out or at happy hour or hanging around playing with the kids. Stuff is really good. I wear their T-shirts all the time, especially if you're wearing it under another shirt or suit or something like that. It doesn't come untucked like the old ones would. The stuff is really top shelf. Weldon Blue, it's a totally free loyalty program. Level 1 gets you free shipping for life. Level 2 means 20% off of every order for the next year. It's Mack Weldon. Right, Matt?
Yeah, you know, stay cool this summer and look great while doing it. The all-new collection of men's essentials from Mack Weldon. And here's our deal. You get 20% off your first order. Visit MackWeldon.com/carcast and enter promo code CARCAST. That's MackWeldon.com/carcast. The promo code on your shopping cart is CARCAST. It's Mack Weldon reinventing men's classics.
The bid, high bid, was $220. Did not meet reserve on this silver. Already. Oh. 2+2. It did not sell.
Did not sell.
Here's my prediction. So these cars went up fast about 3-5 years ago. They popped and they were going fast. Now, what's funny is the 250, the one under it, was worth nothing. Those cars have passed these cars. So it's a fickle market out there. Here's my prediction on this car. I know nothing of this car, but 220 is a little bit on the cheap side for this car. That looks to be in decent condition. I'm going to guess that it's not a numbers matching engine.
Yeah, I was going to say that number seems a little light.
So if you see a car and it's a little light, especially a Lamborghini or Ferrari,
it's got sometimes an LS swap.
Now they'll just say period correct, you know, whatever, or it's in rough shape and I haven't. It may be in kind of tough shape. I do not know. 5-speed man, numbers matching 4-liter Colombo. All right. Well, I'm wrong about that. 31,000. I don't know why. I don't know if this car's rough. I don't know if it, you know, was hit and put back together or something. It stalling at 220 just feels light for that car.
Yeah. I don't know. Do we know it's a clean title? I mean, I assume so, but
they need the Barani wheels on there. All right. I'm going to be in Anchorage, Alaska at Coots,
wow.
Next Saturday. And July 3rd, doing a live podcast and stand-up there. And then Raleigh, North Carolina, and Minneapolis, and Royal Oak, Michigan, and Kansas City. Just go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows.
Mike's going to think there's no cops at all in Alaska.
Oh, my God, there may not be.
You're going to be riding a buffalo to chase him down.
What do you got, man?
Just follow me at Motorator.com, and I'll post you the images from Barry Jackson and the Genesis and all that.
So until next time, I'm Crow for Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.